You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
Let's look at Philippians 1:3 today for just a moment. We're going to be staying in this chapter 1 today. It said, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. Before we begin praying, we're going to be inserting occasionally on Sundays what we refer to as a mission moment. There are so many. I've lined out so many through the year that it's taken up about 20 Sundays if I did one per Sunday of what you're doing. And you don't get the view that I get of what we do. So little by little, I want to feed that to you and let you see what's going on. And during Bible school, we had a focus this last week on our giving, and the focus was on Sunrise Children's Home. And we're going to be serving next Sunday, I believe, is a day that we go. It is in Danville, and it's a boys' home. Now, they're beginning to have girls' campuses, too. They don't have co-ed campuses. So we go to the one in Danville. This used to be called the Kentucky Baptist Children's Home, if you remember that, and you're as old as I am. So now it's called Sunrise. And so these boys are placed there. The waiting list is huge for them to get there. They don't have homes like many of us have. And what homes they did have don't resemble a lot of the homes that we have. So we feed once a week or once a month. We feed the elementary age, the middle school, and the high school. They have their own school system. They can't go into public schools because of the triggers that are there for them. They can't do it. And so we just go in and love on them. We feed them. One way to a guy's heart is through his stomach, right? So we feed these boys. And one day we got them ribs from Cheddar's, and they'd never really had ribs before. So my group, I convinced them that they were T-Rex ribs, you know? And then they started eating them. So, they're eating dinosaur ribs. So we want to feed them and love on them and care for them. What's happened is we end up coloring with them. You'd think a bunch of boys, we'd be doing something else. But they love to color. I've colored more in the last few months than I have my whole elementary school time. And we just color with them and spend time with them and get to know them and love on them. So we do this also not only to feed them, but it gives their staff, their kitchen staff, a chance to go home. They're there 7 days a week. They get to go to their own churches. So it's a ministry to the staff and also to the boys there as well. And during Bible school, I think our total that we gave or the kids brought, that's the total they gave. So I told Amy that'd buy a lot of crayons, you know, with what we do and having an activity after we feed them. And we're going to give you a link if you want to give. It's a QR code. We're going to put it up after the service as well for just a little while if you want to come up and just connect with that QR code and give. Or you can give it to us. We'll certainly see that it gets there to them. But one thing we want to do in these mission moments is we want to pray for Sunrise, these boys and their future. I've asked some of them, they go, what do you do? And I go, well, I'm a preacher. And some of them have no idea what a preacher does, literally no idea. And we're able to talk. And so we have drawings on our refrigerator, just like we do with our own grandkids. At our home, as a reminder, I know we pray for them, so we're going to pray for them, okay? And you do this. This is what, there's a lot of us who serve together, but even your giving, and we have people who give outside of our church to this to help feed these boys and to care for them and even minister to the staff. So let's bow, if you'll do that. Let's pray for Sunrise Boys Home. Now, their campus is all over the state, but you can pray specifically for the one in Danville. And let's pray for these boys. Let's pray that they will find homes, you know, that people will foster them and people will adopt them. And I know that we're there to love on them and be a consistent point of connection of them. So let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for their staff there. It's heavy. All of us who work there, we almost are in tears when we leave there. Pray for their staff. Let's pray for these boys. Some of us in this room already know them by name. But pray for them. Pray for their futures. Pray that they be men of God, that grow up to be men of God. If we're living and breathing, we've got a chance, you know, and they've got a chance. Pray for their futures, not only future families, but their own future families. And just pray for a move of the Holy Spirit on their campuses. We can only do so much. The Holy Spirit does way, way so much more. But just pray for a movement among those boys and their workers, their futures. And even if God is asking you to give toward it, we'll figure it out, you know, of what we need to do. Some of you may have never served. It really is on-the-job training. But we can do that quickly. You'll come attached to them quickly. Father, we pray for these ministries to these young men, and also, Lord, the beginning of young ladies and the campuses that are being brought up. We pray for their resourcing, Lord, and we pray that they become men and women of you, Lord, that they're people after your own heart. We pray for the staff that oversee them, Lord. I know the turnover of there is great, but we pray for them. We pray for them. They see it as a ministry and mission. And Lord, we just pray on even how our church is not only involved, but how do you give that increase? What do you ask of us to do? Father, today help me be a plain preacher, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us, but you see me differently today. I'm your preacher and I'm your teacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in this room. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. I hope you enjoy a little bit of those mission moments so that you'll know what you're participating in, what your giving goes to. We have a lot, we really do, that we are a part of. Today's sermon out of Philippians 1 is going to combine finishing up Vacation Bible School. It's going to really even go a little bit in the future. In August, we'll be 28 years old, if you can believe that, as a church. It's even going to bounce back to even some of our beginning. And what Paul is writing here and how it's so structured in his writing that he's just grateful and thankful. So I want to begin with verse 2, Philippians 1:2. This ought to be familiar to you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A great salutation of Paul. Also, Simon Peter uses this as well. And this is what we do when we leave every Sunday. I use it a lot, even at hospital visits or just people counseling sessions or whatever. And I'll just raise my hands out and go, what do we say? And we go grace and peace to all of you. But I want you to know why Paul does this, not that it just seems to be a little bit snazzy, you know, that he uses it in such a way to write. You got to ask, why does he do this? And Paul is big on grace because he realized he was one who persecuted Christians, and he did it in the name of God. So then when the Lord saved him and the transformation occurred, then he became a Christian, and then not only that, an incredible missionary, and then on top of that, a church planter. So he remembers what it was like when he had not participated in the grace of our Lord and how much God's grace meant to him. So let's have a little reminder of God's grace from his perspective, but our experience when it comes to his grace. When we talk about grace, we're talking about favor. And most grace that we have today is a people's grace. And a people's grace is, I'm going to favor you because you're my friend. I'm just going to favor you. That's a people's grace. That's a worldly kind of grace, is I favor you, but I already favor you. You know, and it's easy to favor a friend. God's grace is completely different. God's grace is God favors his enemy. I hope you see the difference in that in one little sentence. You and I will favor friends, but God, his favor is toward his enemies. You and I, when we surrender to him, we start operating under God's grace and not a people's grace or a world's grace. We start operating under his. Paul never forgets that. He never forgets that God's grace to him came to him, and he was an enemy of God. So were we. All of us were too. We were enemies of the Lord, and his grace still favored us, even as enemies. So when it gets to the peace aspect of this, it is the heart. There's a picture of the heart that there's no struggle here with him, that it's settled. It's absolutely settled in my heart of who the Lord of my life is, that my heart is in rhythm with the Father. So it's grace and peace is remember the favor God gave you, not that your friend gives you, but that God gave you when you were his enemy. And then peace to you means let's let it all be settled. As you get older, you realize that we don't need what we think we need as much at all. Just going through Julie's parents' house after they passed away, we housed a lot of Tom and Laura's stuff after our son-in-law Tom passed away. It's still there. I think we're going through his Western Kentucky University t-shirts now, you know, that Tom had. Not that just Laura had, but that he had. And he passed away in 2017. So it shows you how fast we operate, you know, around our house. But nowadays I come into our house and I go, I just see stuff, you know, everywhere that we have to handle. As you get older, you're going to realize the most important things in life are relationships and who you are. Do I have everything settled? If I died today, would I want to say to the Lord, no, give me a minute. There's something I've got to get straight before I die. And having your heart ready means take me at any moment. Everything's settled. I've made peace with the Lord. I've made peace with people. It's all ready to go. So Paul really begins this letter to this church, and he's saying to them, grace and peace, because he's remembering God's peace or God's grace, and he's got peace in his heart. But remember this, he's saying God's peace and he's in prison, not because he's done anything drastically wrong, but because he has been preaching the gospel, and he's in prison because of the gospel, and he's near execution, even though it happens later, he gets out of this situation, but he's writing this grace and peace while he's in prison. Please don't forget that. He's accepting everything that's going on, and he still has the peace of God with him. Look at verse 3, which is the one that we handled in the beginning of the for our text for the sermon. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. As a Christian, thanks is constant, and it's not occasional. It's constant, over and over. This week at Bible school, I think we've all seen the future radar possibilities of 80 and 90% of rain during the week. And, you know, we're going, okay, do we have plan B ready to go? Are we ready to go with plan B? And what's going to happen? And where are we going to put people? And what are we going to do? We made it. Hallelujah. I don't know if we had a kid named Noah coming to our Bible school, but maybe we didn't. But we made it. You know, every night is all this prediction of rain, and I just gave thanks. I gave thanks to the Lord for all that. I know in some areas we needed rain. I know we got some of it during the day, and it didn't rain at night, which we would accept that. But our thanks to the Lord is consistent, and it's constant. It's not a Thursday in November. It's not occasional. It's not seasonal. We're always giving thanks and looking for a way to give thanks in every situation that comes around us. He's in prison remembering. Paul's in prison and he's remembering. And he is remembering how God has been net weaving his life together. I don't use the word networking, because networking seems like a business deal. Like I connect with you to get what I want, you get what you want. I use the word net weaving because it's mingling us together. It's like sewing or stitching or embroidery or anything that is put together. There's this net weaving that goes on. Not networking, but net weaving. And he's remembering how God has been net weaving his life with all these people, and he's done it for a very specific reason. He's done it for the gospel, so that the gospel is going to be shared and lived out in these people's lives. So I want to remind you that his thanks is to God. Yes, should you give thanks to other people? Of course, but our thanks also goes to him. When we're praying, I think that ought to be a segment of your prayer. When you're having your own personal prayer time, I think there ought to be a segment of your prayer where you just stop and you realize some things that he has done in his net weaving together, and you just stop and give thanks to him. Say, Lord, thank you for putting that together for us. Thank you. Most definitely we say that to him. We're going to pause for a moment right here. We're not going to have any music playing. It's going to be silent, and silence can just freak us all out a little bit because many of you, us, we've got two or three things going on electronically at once. There's all this noise factor in our life, but we're not going to have anything playing. And I'm just going to ask you to bow your head right where you are right now. And let's stop and let's give thanks. Let's give thanks to him. And think of the people that he's brought into your life in his miraculous, sovereign, incredible way of net weaving us together. People who may have gone on to be with the Lord, people you're active in your friendship now. I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit that he just wells it up within you on who to give thanks for. Just give thanks to him. Who are those people that he has used in your life, using in your life? Net weaving, already beginning to connect in your life. we just pause and we give thanks. Lord, thank you for this person, what they meant. Thank you for sending this person, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for giving this rescue and this aid in my life. And you may have only told the Father things in your life that only you and the Father know that he has done. What's new in your life? He's always moving you from something to something all the time. And just give thanks. Remember, it's constant, not seasonal or occasional. Father, we give you thanks that you've not only just given us Jesus to his sacrifice to save us, but Lord, you care for us like a shepherd does sheep. You look even in the detailed parts of our life that, Lord, we're going to see in a moment, we may even see it now, that you are working on our behalf as we sit here and worship. And we just say thank you that you're always at work. Jesus said that about you, Father, that the Father is always at work and he's net weaving so much in our lives. And let's just say thank you. Thank you for that detail. Thank you for that focus on our individual personal lives, that you are working on our behalf. We pause today, Father, to say thank you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. And then we'll do it the old way. All God's people said, amen. Look at verse 4. Always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. Again, he's in prison and he's remembering. And the prayer is a joyful prayer. Again, he's in prison and it's a joyful prayer that he's given. He's awaiting execution, yet it's a joyful prayer. It's not a fearful prayer. It's not a dread prayer. It's a joyful prayer because he's seeing all that God has done and placed in his life. And he's remembering with joy. I want to tell you, it's pretty common for Paul to give worship and to give thoughts toward all that God has done while he's in prison. Look at Acts 16, 25 and 26 for just a moment. So Paul and Silas are put in prison because they're sharing the gospel. In fact, there's this lady who had the spirit of divination. She's following them around. And these people owned her. She was a slave. But she was a slave because she was the tarot card reader. She was the crystal ball reader. She could prophesy and tell your futures. And if you were going to graduate valedictorian, you know, somebody asked me if I graduated valedictorian or salutatorian. I said, no, I was just glad to be in the auditorium, you know, when I graduated. Now Julie did. She did graduate with those accolades. So they own her, and her doing what she does is profitable to them. And Paul casts that spirit of divination out of this woman, made the people who owned her and the townspeople mad. So they get to whipping on Paul and Silas, and they get to beating them with sticks, and they get to whipping on them, and they call the magistrates in. And so they end up putting them in prison, and they're in stocks. I mean, they're not just loosely in prison. They're chained, and they're bound in prison. It said about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So it's really a good picture to see Paul in prison having joy, praising and worship. He's doing that. Now, we're going to get to a point where I don't know what Baptists do with these next verses, all right? And the prisoners were listening to them as they were singing. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, not just their door cells, their cell doors were open, and everyone's chains came off. Hallelujah. Maybe Paul's got something with doing praise and worship in prison. Maybe he understands that there you can have joy in the midst of some of the most crunching times of your life. Why? Because God is he's net weaving in your life. The enemy wants you to think that the Father's not doing anything with you, just getting you ready for heaven. But that's far from the truth of the gospel. He's net weaving and working in your life. You and I just run too fast that we don't stop to see what he's doing and arranging in our lives. And we've got to trust that. Even if we can't explain that, we have to trust that. And it becomes a part of joyful prayer, joyful thanks, consistent, not occasional, that I thank you, Lord, because I know you're up to something in my life. And I'm grateful to you for that. Everyone's chains came loose. And if you read the rest of the story, the guard wanted to take his life because if his prisoners escaped, that's what was going to happen to him. And then if you know the story, he ends up coming to know the Lord. So I want you to see here that the joyful prayer, the consistent area of thanks, and I pray that these joyful prayers, that you can have those prayers about other people, which is really what we just did. But stop for a moment. I pray that other people can have these joyful prayers about you. That in their joyful prayers is a mention of you. Because God has used you in a way of net weaving into the lives of other people. Look at verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, his prayer is joyful. He's remembering because he's just putting all this timeline together. I did the same thing while I was doing this sermon. I did the same thing while I was watching us at Vacation Bible School throughout the week. You know, from 1998 when we started Hope Church until now, I could never repay you guys. Could never do that. And thank you is all I can do, but it doesn't seem like it would be enough for all the lives you've changed and made a difference. And God has used us to just net weave together. And why? It's for the gospel. It's so that the enemies of God can know they can have the grace of God. It's one thing for me to favor a friend, but it's another thing for me to favor an enemy. And that's what he did to us, and that's our message. That's why we go, that's why we give, that's why we do. It's because he said, I'm piecing this together. It's because of our partnership in the gospel with Vacation Bible School. All of our ministries, our going and our doing, our trusting and obeying. And I don't mean just meeting and talking, okay? Sometimes churches just want to meet and talk. I just grew up on the farm. If we stayed in the barn talking about stuff, we never got the farm work done. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the hay's got, you just got to put the hay in the barn. You got to get to work. You can't just be talking about it. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:20 about the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. You see that? I didn't insert that in scripture. That is scripture. But it's power. Our prayers for Sunrise Boys, their future and their future families, they matter. Because the enemy's huddling up so that they don't ever have a future. You and I huddle up so that they can. Amen. So we realize it's not just talk. It's power. It's not just meeting and conversing with ideas and theories and philosophies. It's power. So your compassion, the compassion of Christ, the Greek word is splachnizomai, that it's only related to God giving you the compassion of Christ. The hospitality that I see you do, the care that you give, the interest that you put in people, the sacrifice, and even your willingness to do it. I watched you during Vacation Bible School. I know I walk around like I'm aloof and I don't have a clue what's going on, but just don't let that fool you. I'm watching all the time. I'm watching leadership develop and happen. I'm watching you train other people and disciple new people. I was so excited at Bible school to see so many people fitting in. And I've told you, some of you come to me and go, hey, preacher, we want to get to know people. I go, well, just come to Bible school. And you're like, it's my way of just using you to twist your arm to get you to come serve in Bible school. I'm going, no, you'll meet all kinds of people that you will connect with, and God uses it from there on. And it's just not Bible school that we do that with, but it is you're training new people and you're focused, and the ministry, and the word deacon in the church means one who get their feet dirty. It means they go do ministry. So there's one way to disciple. There's several ways, but there's one way I'm going to give you today, and that's just go serve and ask people to come serve with you. Just ask him to come alongside you and watch what he does with that. So I want to thank you that we're in a partnership. It's more than a church membership. It's more than that. It's more than being a part of a club. We're a church. And when you're in a church, you're in a gospel partnership of seeing that gospel message of God's grace that goes and gives favor to the enemy. And God's peace means I can live, and I can live with my heart settled until the day I die. That I don't have to say, wait a minute, I've got to make up with something. That it's settled. My heart is his. My heart is after him. It's done. That I don't fear death because of unfinished business. It's settled in my heart. That's our gospel message. I want you to live and die that way. I want you living and dying, knowing that you've had the favor of God in your life. And I want you living and dying, knowing that your heart is settled on who you are with the Lord and who the Lord is with you in your life. And you one of the ways we can do this and we partner up is just in the net weaving. Just include people with you. I grew up with a dad. He was a great dad. Wasn't a perfect dad, but he was a great dad. And I grew up with a dad that'd rather do it instead of teach you how to do it. Okay? I grew up with that dad. And it used to frustrate me because I wanted to please my dad so much that I'd be doing something with him, you know, and kind of working on the farm or tinkering with something in the garage or whatever. And my dad, and I tried hard to understand this, and maybe you had it done to you, or maybe you pass it on to the other generation. My dad would go, Jeffrey Lynn, go over there on that table and get that thing for me. And I'm trying to go, there's a gazillion things over there on the table. What thing is he talking about? Well, just, you know, it's right over there next to that other thing over there. And I'm really not wanting to ask my dad anymore. I really want to be able to know what that is, go over there and pick that up and bring it back to my dad. And he'll let him be proud of me. That it's the right size, it's the right tool, it's the right whatever. But, you know, dad just figured out it's better to do it than to teach it. To teach it would be a little longer. Listen, our Heavenly Father is very specific that we partner in the gospel. And we partner in the gospel message of God's grace to the enemy, which is us, but he favors us. And not only that, our hearts can be at peace with him. That's why we say grace and peace at the end of the service. That's why Paul does most of his writings, and so does Simon Peter, with grace and peace in there, is to know, and if you pay attention to what I say, make sure you live in both of them. You hear me say that all the time? Grace and peace. Make sure you live in both of them. because it's intended for you to do that. Our Heavenly Father just doesn't say, go do that thing. He says, go do this. It's got clarity to it. And man, I wanted that clarity from my dad. I remember working in a hardware store growing up in Campbellsville. It was a Western Auto. It was on Main Street. Chester and Ina Blakeman, very, very big in my life. And I didn't know 90% of what was in that store. So the way I learned it was when people came in and asked for it, I'd go, well, tell me what you do with it. And so they'll go into this big description, and that's how I learned, well, that's over there in that aisle. We'll go over there. And I'd just get them in the right section, and then they would explain what they were. That's how I learned things. Was they brought a little more clarity to what they were getting and what I was trying to sell to them as well. And we do that. It's just the gospel partnership. A lot of us are like, well, man, have you church membership, and it has its place, don't get me wrong. But my point is, it's just, are we partnering in the gospel of God's grace and God's peace that he explains about? You can tell I'm excited about it. So I was putting this sermon together, and Julie came into my office, and I had to shoo her away a little bit. So because I was becoming so focused on this sermon, that we realize he's given us clarity on what the partnership is about and what to go and do. Look at verse 6, Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you, this is the net weaving, this is the sovereignty of God, we'll carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, which even that day of Christ Jesus means his return for all of us. The Lord is in the beginning, and the Lord promises to see it through, ultimately his return. Here's what scripture says about him. He's the first and the last. He's the A and the Z. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author and he is the finisher. He completes what he starts. And he has started something in all of us. And he's net weaving you. And some of it you may understand. A lot of it you may not. But you got to learn to trust him that he's net weaving. And he works for your good. He works in our partnership of when it comes to the gospel. Look at Philippians 1:7 for just a moment. He says, it is right for me to think this way. And it's right for me to think this way of all that he has done in our years together. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because I have you in my heart. And you are all partners with me in grace. You see that? Grace. Both in my imprisonment, which I'm not in, and in the defense and the establishment of the gospel, we are partners in this grace gospel message that we have to the world. It's more than church membership. It's kingdom partnership together. So let's look at it that way, okay? That we're kingdom partners. That's one reason I'm going to start bringing in and working in these mission moments, is so that you see how we're partnering together for the gospel. I want to leave you with this, 1 Corinthians 3:9-11. For we are God's co-workers. We're in a partnership with him. Kingdom partnership. You are God's field where he does his work. You are God's building which he constructs. Verse 10, according to God's grace, there's that word again, that was given to me, Paul said, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it, but each one must be careful how he builds on it. Verse 11, for no one can lay another foundation than what has been laid down, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. If we just take sunrise today, we're laying a foundation. Are we giving them Cracker Barrel pancakes, and they don't pour the syrup on the pancake, they go around drinking it, okay? Are we laying a foundation for the gospel there? The answer is yes. We are in Vacation Bible School. We were doing all kinds of things. You know what we're doing? We're laying a foundation so that God can build on that foundation. Everything we do in a kingdom partnership is that we lay the foundation of Jesus Christ. If I have you build your life on your foundation, it's going to crack and crumble. But if I have you live and build your life on the foundation of Christ Jesus, it will stand any storm that comes its way. And that's all we do in Kingdom Partnership, is we lay the foundation so that the Lord can build on the foundation that he has laid in their life. Amen. You got that? You received that today? That's who we are. We're co-laborers with the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace, not the world's grace or people's grace. God's grace is he came to us when we were his enemies. The peace that's in my heart, I'm not going to try to get it right between now and when I die. It's right now. It's settled with him. And we live in that. In a moment, I'm going to send you out. Or the steward home's going to send you out. And we're going to say, grace and peace. I'm going to add, make sure you live in both of them. Because it's the foundation of the gospel of Christ. That we live under his grace. That there's peace. And we partner together. Okay, amen. I pray you received that today. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people today. Blessings to them. And again, our prayer is a prayer of thank you. Thank you that in our lostness, Lord, in our selfishness and all of that, you've seen through all that and you sent us a Savior. And oh, the penalty that he paid, the wrath that he took, so that we could be your children. We could be saved and rescued. And we thank you. We thank you. Thank you for the peace that you give us, Lord, in our hearts. Of not only living abundantly in this life, but living eternally there. It's all settled. I pray it's settled with everybody that's in this room today, that they can live in that. We just thank you that it's possible because you made it that way. We say thanks. Lord, any decisions made today, points of surrender, turnarounds, repentance, may it be so today, Lord. May it happen. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, let's stand. Counselors, would you find your spot? The invitation, you may want to be prayed for, over, or with. You may want to do that. You may want to come and surrender. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. You come. The team's going to lead us. You respond.